KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, we have a fair to partly cloudy sky, and at 72 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, hot and humid, with a chance for isolated showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, we'll have a high around 90 with a heat index of 102. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. The IDPH coronavirus dashboard this morning indicated there were 10 new confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 in Cass County since Friday, for a total of 61, and two more have recovered, for a total of 40. Adair County has one more case, for a total of 28. Montgomery County has five new cases of COVID-19, for a total of 59. There are 11 more cases in Pottawatomie County, for nearly 1,300 altogether, and one new case in Shelby County, for a total of 180. Recoveries in Shelby County have increased from 141 on Friday to 150 this morning. And Pottawatomie County lists 36 recoveries since Friday, for a total of 941. There were no reports of any new deaths in our immediate listing area. Statewide, though, 13 more people have died from COVID-19, for a total as of this morning of 925. Long-term care facility deaths account for 496 of those 925. Of the 1,451 tests that have been taken, 48,112 people have tested positive for COVID-19. That's an increase of 383 from Friday. 36,850 have recovered, and 4,424 tested negative, for a total of 463,499 since the virus outbreak began. The IDPH says 229 people are hospitalized with the virus, compared to 223 on Friday. 58 are in an ICU. That's down from 65 on Friday. 33 people were admitted to a hospital since 10 a.m. Friday. That's the same as yesterday. And 22 are on a ventilator. Southwest and Western Iowa hospitals are reporting a total of 15 patients, compared to 12 yesterday. Four are in an ICU, and that's down one from five on Friday. Three were admitted since 10 a.m. Friday, compared to two the previous day, and one person was on a ventilator. There were zero in the previous report. And finally, long-term care facility outbreaks remain steady at 26 of those facilities. 814 patients and staff have tested positive for COVID-19, and 422 have recovered from the virus. Iowa State University says a program to administer coronavirus tests to students as they move back to campus has found 66 testing positive. That's about 2.2% of the 3,037 students that have moved into residence halls and campus apartments and taken tests. About half the students testing positive chose to return home to complete isolation. The university has isolation rooms set up for positive cases and quarantine rooms for those who are notified of exposure through contact tracing. Tests are one part of the university's coronavirus mitigation plan. Elsewhere in the news, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office has two male suspects wanted in connection with several ATM thefts in northwestern Iowa and Nebraska are now suspected of being involved in an incident that took place early Friday morning in Farragut. Authorities say they received a report Friday of a theft that occurred at the First Heritage Bank in Farragut. On security video of the incident, deputies observed that between the hours of 1 and 4 a.m. Friday, two men had entered the First Heritage Bank entryway and, using tools, accessed the ATM and removed an unspecified amount of money. Deputies contacted the FBI's Omaha field office to assist with the investigation. If you have any information about that incident, you're asked to contact the Fremont County Sheriff's Office at 712-374-2424 or the Omaha's FBI field office at 402-493-8688. Officials of the Cass and Audubon County Sheriff's Offices are reporting two separate phone scams that are making the rounds. The Cass County Sheriff's Office said the old Social Security phone scam has popped up again. And that's when a person calls and claims they're a law enforcement official and tells you your Social Security number has been stolen. They also might tell you there's a vehicle in your name in another state that was involved in drugs and there's might be blood in that vehicle. Usually the scammer will then press you to give them personal information. Authorities say that's definitely a scam and don't fall for it, and do not give any personal information. In Audubon County, the COVID-19 test kit scams are circulating. During those types of calls, a person tells you their records show they've been in close proximity to someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. They won't tell you who you supposedly came into contact with, and that they want to mail you a kit which you must pay for and return within 72 hours. The kits typically cost around $50, they said. And this is a scam, so again, don't get out any personal information, just hang up. Now, Audubon County Public Health has verified their office conducts the contact tracing for Audubon County, but they do not send out the tests and furthermore do not ask for credit card information. The Iowa Department of Public Safety and the Office of the Attorney General of Iowa have issued a revised warning to Iowans about a grandparent scam. Several Iowa communities throughout the state have recently reported efforts by criminal groups to swindle predominantly elderly Iowans through the use of this particular scam. It's not a new scam. The AG's office has been warning Iowans about the grandparent scam since at least 2008. However, it is presenting a new twist. The scam starts off with a phone call to the victim from someone posing as their grandchild. The imposter tells the victim they have been in an accident, hospitalized, jailed, or even in a foreign country and need their grandparent to send money to them. Local law enforcement authorities have reported a new scam strategy involving couriers who are being sent to the grandparent's residence to retrieve the money. Other tricks these scammers employ involve the use of factual details about the victim's grandchild obtained from social media accounts. The scammer might also team up with another scammer who pretends to be an attorney, a doctor, or police officer, thereby backing up the scammer's claims. Now, this scam, the Iowa DPS says, and the dangers of sharing public information, wiring money, providing prepaid money cards, or bank account information to telephone strangers by telephone, and generally the transactions abroad are often nearly impossible to trace. For tips on how to avoid being scammed by someone who calls or sends a message claiming to be a grandchild desperate for money, you can see the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The Page County Sheriff's Office on Friday arrested a man for public intoxication. 21-year-old Spencer Ryan Moore of Coyne was arrested around 1:15 a.m. following an investigation into a reported argument at a residence in the 2700 block of F Avenue, which is about 2 miles southwest of Coyne. Moore was transported to the Page County Jail and held on a $300 bond pending further court proceedings. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Elvie K. Scott, age 92, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Elvie Scott will be today at 11 o'clock at the Gray United Methodist Church in Gray. Family prefers everyone in attendance to please wear a mask. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. Clayton Ellingson, age 93, of Atlantic, died April 26th at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. A celebration of life for Clayton Ellingson will be today at 1:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. The family requests a use of the mask while in attendance at the service and visitation. A mask will be provided if you don't have one. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Diane Denny, age 64, of Wyota, died Monday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Diane Denny will be today at 1:30 at the Wyota United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Darlene Justice, age 87, of Avoca and formerly of Irwin, died Wednesday at Avoca Specialty Care. Funeral services for Darlene Justice will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Marvin Maynard Clark, age 84, of Oakland, died August the 6th at the Oakland Manor. A private family funeral for Marvin Clark will be on Thursday at 10:30 at the Oakland United Methodist Church. The funeral will be streamed on the Facebook Live and the Reconvene Funeral Home page. Mardell Hansen, age 94, of Audubon and formerly of Exira, died Thursday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Private family services are planned for Mardell Hansen. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has the arrangements. Darlene Evelyn Stringham, age 94, of Yale, died Wednesday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. Private family graveside services will be held for Darlene Stringham with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Mary J. Moffat, age 59, of Stewart, died August the 3rd at her home. Cremation has taken place per her wishes, and services for Mary Moffat will be held at a later date with the Johnson Family Funeral Home of Stewart in charge of arrangements. William Fritz Warden, age 84, of Shelby, died Tuesday in Avoca. Memorial services and a private interment for William Fritz Warden will be held at a later date. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home has the arrangements. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.